2 Kings chapter 2, if you would, please. 2 Kings chapter number 2, if you'll take your Bibles, turn that way. I'm very honored, very excited about preaching, and I want to thank, of course, Pastor Wilkerson for giving me the opportunity, and Brother Hassey, and all the work and labor and a lot of scheduling goes into something like this. Of course, all the members at First Baptist, everybody's involved in something, and that's such a blessing. And that means a lot. I know it does to the pastor and the workers for sure. And of course, while you turn there, let me say to the churches that are here, thank you for coming. I know it takes a lot just to organize a group of teenagers together. We get a small picture of what Moses felt like going through the wilderness. Amen. But to get fuel for a bus or a van, to rent a vehicle, to break down, because Baptist churches, if you use your original church bus, it only goes one way. We understand that, all right? It is not going to make it back, okay? So we know how the trips go. It takes a lot. Thank you so much for doing that. That means a lot, I know. And I hope it's been a help and encouragement. I know the sermons and messages have helped me already. And just want to be an encouragement to you today. Try to help a little bit. 2 Kings, if you would, chapter number 2. If you're there, say amen. How many just lied? Raise your hand. Okay, we've got a few honest ones back there. All right. Yeah, I'm a liar. Okay, here we go. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Could you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? Would that be all right? And I would say if you're able to, but this is a youth conference, right? So we're all teenagers here. We're supposed to be crazy, a little off our rockers. So, amen. Y'all bear with us. We're on this side of the platform. I'm trying to act good, Pastor, but Brother Freddie's down there. So he doesn't help me. We're not good together. And then there's Brother Ken, Brother Mason, Brother Young start to get our reason. It starts balancing it out. Amen. So, but anyway, we're having a good time. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to start reading verse number 1. You follow along there. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Hold ye your peace is a polite way to say, shut up. But my mom wouldn't let me say that, so I can't say that, all right? So don't say that. Here we go. Verse 6. And Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he says, the Lord liveth as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. Drop down to verse 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Our Heavenly Father, would you help me this afternoon to help these that are here? We thank you for what our ears have already heard. Thank you for the tremendous messages that have already been preached. Thank you for all the labor and all the work, the meals, the songs and everything, the skits, the games. There's so much has gone into these few days. We thank you for the safety traveling and bringing this group in. I pray that you'll help me in some way, Holy Spirit of God, to convey a truth to them. Lord, I just want to be a blessing. I don't want to try to hurt or hinder anything that's going on in this place. I'm so glad that you gave your life for mine. And I'm so glad I can call myself a born-again believer. And Lord, may I honor you today and thank you for these that are here. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You sang it earlier, and if you don't know it, you heard the tune at least. I'm sorry. Psalms 139, how precious also are thy thoughts. And how many already know that song? Let me see your hand. Good, then a bunch of y'all can help me. If you don't know it, it's right there in your songbook, Psalms 139. All right, here we go. Let's sing it together as we get ready to preach. How precious also are the... That's good. How great is the sum of them. Sounds good. Here's a pretty good prayer. Think about it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. And see if there be any wicked way. Well, I love to hear teenagers sing. I appreciate from the very first message that Dr. Finley preached and talked about people that are on the bench wanting to get into the game. What do you do? And Brother Finley, I got to think about these young men that are here, and it's mentioned about some sons of the prophets. Elijah was a man of God, different. He's one of my favorite Old Testament prophets. I just like him. It seems like when he walks into a room, people kind of get quiet and want to see what he's got to say. He looks different. He preaches different. He acts different. He is just the kind of guy that all you have to do is start to describe him, as we'll see in our text, and people already know who it is you're talking about. He's got some men that are called the sons of the prophets. They're with him and they're being trained in many different places. Three here that we saw, that there were different groups of them that are being trained. But it's amazing to me that as they went to each place that we're going to look at here, Elisha was confronted by those sons of the prophets, and they came to him and they all made the same statement. They said, "Don't you know that your master is going to be taken away today?" It's amazing to me that they knew he was going to be taken away. They knew that it was going to be today. But they also said, "It's your master." Why didn't they say, "Don't you know that our master?" I mean, he's training them too. They're with him too. And let me say, I'm glad for every one of you that are here today. Don't get me wrong. I am so tickled to death you're here. I don't care if your youth director lied to you and said, "Hey, we're going to go bowling, get in the van." And you woke up 12 hours later in Hammond, Indiana, amen? And you got suckered into it. It doesn't bother me. I'm glad you're here. I don't care if you're drugged by dog chains and you can see marks with the high heels. "No, not preaching again. I'm going crazy." I don't care if you slept out on the steps last night and you're so excited, man. I can't wait to get back in there. I'm just thrilled, everybody. Everybody's here, say amen right there. Hey, I'm glad you're here. But let me say, I'm really want to focus in a little bit on that one that says, "I want to be more than just here. I want to be more than just in the crowd. I want to be more than just sitting amongst my group. I love my group. I'm glad for everyone's there. I'll be friendly with everybody and anybody, and I'm going to enjoy the games, and I'm going to enjoy the singing. But I want to be like Elisha that says, there's something different about that man. There's something different about his spirit. I want a double portion of whatever that guy got." I love his attitude. When I think of spirit, Brother Chris Steff's one of my closest preacher friends in the world, and his spirit's just crazy. He's fun to be around. He's insane. He's messed up. Too many Diet Cokes hath made thee mad. Amen. You know, there's something about that spirit. I think Brother Johnny Pope, he's one of the funniest guys in the world. I mean, I've been with him where he'll just crack you up, and he'll walk up total strangers at a restaurant and just like they've been long-lost families and sit down at McDonald's, start eating their own fries, and, "Man, how you doing?" And he's so nice, they can't help but love him back. "We're doing good." You know what I'm thinking? I wouldn't do that. I joke with my friends. I don't joke with weird people, you know? I can't say weird. Somebody confronted me last, you know, time I preached with some teenager girls, said, "You call that person weird. They're one of God's children." And I said, "Have you gotten a closer look at them?" Amen. But anyway, got some doubts going on. But my question today is this: is there an Elisha in the house? I was preaching a couple years ago for good friend of mine, Brother Jenkins, and my oldest son Scott was with me as a few years ago, and it was on a Wednesday night, and it was before church. We went to Applebee's to eat, praise God, and going to eat before you preach, and so we were sitting there, and across the aisle from where we were at, I heard a lady start hollering, "Help, help," and so, of course, you look over, you know, and it's an older couple, and I know the teenagers, you think like, "Oh, they were 40? And no, they were really older couple, okay? And but the man was sitting there, and he was froze. I mean, he ain't moving, he ain't breathing. Well, I'm not a doctor, you know. They, you know, don't call me. I can't help you. And but, it, you know, just naturally jumped up and Hey, where's my Diet Mountain Dew? That just hit me. You guys. Okay. I'll remember that. Oh, yeah, I'm going to remember you guys. But anyway, and so I jumped out of the booth, and I went over there. I'm here to save the day. What are you doing? I have no idea. And so I helped pull the guy out. I mean, he is just, I mean, he's limp. I was going to say dead weight, but that was bad. Anyway, but he was just limp. And so we laid him down, and the lady said, I think he needs mouth to mouth. I was like, yeah, sure he does. And I was like, not for me, you don't. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm so glad God works everything out. There just one booth over, a lady was a registered nurse. She came right over. I mean, within seconds, she knew exactly what to do. And she's like, you know, hold him right, his head just right. And she started giving him CPR a little bit. And all of a sudden, he just came to. And, boy, how would you like to go out to eat and wake up on the floor of the restaurant? Oh, man, how much do I owe, you know? And expensive meal. We just gave him our check and left. And but that poor guy, you know, but every time I think about that, I think about what's our youth departments like? What state are we in? Are we cold? Are we not responding? Are we attentive? Is someone saying, help, help, our church needs some help over here? Hey, our youth group, they're starting to wander a little bit. They need some help over here. I wonder where we're at. You find the life of Elisha and Elijah. And can I say, I really believe Elisha, if he were here today, would testify and say, I just want to thank God for Elijah. I want to thank God for what he meant in my life. I want to thank God for how he influenced me. I had the privilege of giving a testimony Tuesday night, and I really mean this. The Lord's been very kind, and he's allowed me to be with preacher heroes, if you will, of the faith. And man, and let me tell you something, teenager. If you'll get in the middle of him, you may not know where he's going to take you, and you may not know how you're going to get there. But I promise you, when you're done riding with God, you'll always be glad that you got in the car and rode with him. Amen. You'll never be disappointed spending your life serving God. I've never met one person that said, I wish I'd not given my life for God. I've never met one person that said, I gave too much financially to God. I've never met one person yet. You jump in the middle of him and say, God, take me over. God, make it big. God, do whatever you want. You're going to wake up saying, man, this was fun. Yes, sir. You'll never go wrong hanging on to God. But I really believe Elisha probably would thank Elijah for the influence he had. Go back one chapter, if you would, with me in chapter number one. Let's look at Elijah, if you will. The Bible says in verse number one, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that thou go to inquire Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. Boy, that's not a happy message. I like happy messages. I don't like to preach mean ones. But how would you like to get, hey, have a good day. You're going to die. Go back and tell the king, enjoy that bed because you ain't coming off of it. You're a dead man. Here's the story. The king, as we just read, he sends his messengers out. They're going to go to this false god and they're going to try to find out if he's going to live. On their way, they meet a man. It's Elijah. Elijah looks at them and says, guys, save your time. I don't even know why you go to offer sacrifices a mess. God said, and isn't it amazing? Evidently, they didn't really even believe in their false god, because when he said that, if I really believed my God was real, I'd say, you know, well, I don't care what y'all say. I know Beelzebub is real. I'm going to him. Evidently, they really didn't even believe in their own God. They turn around, go back to the king. And the king knows it should have took longer to perform their sacrifices. It should have took longer for the trip itself. And so he inquires of them. He says, why are you here so quickly? And they said, we don't know how to tell you this, king, but we met somebody. And that somebody hears what he said. And so they begin to tell him about his death. Boy, that's a great message to give to your boss. And then the Bible says, he told us, go turn back and do this. Then look at verse number 5. And when the messengers turned back, that's when he comes and meets them, and they said, you're going to surely die. I'm sorry, verse 7. And he said to them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, look at this, he's a hairy man. Man, what? Let's describe him. What kind of man was he? He's hairy. don't know, have y'all ever seen them billboards? I don't see them much anymore, but it's got a dude, I mean, he's an ugly little Tasmanian devil, and it says, "We buy ugly houses." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all seen it? Okay, that's Elijah. Elijah bought ugly houses. He had hair everywhere. Hair coming out of his face, his head. He's Duck Dynasty 101. Amen. But he gone, Jack. But anyway, that's who he was. And so they said, "He's a hairy man." They got describing him and all that. And that king said, "I know who he is. That's Elijah." Oh, I can't stand that guy. So he said, "All right, tell you what you do." Look at verse number 9. "Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him. Behold, he sat at the top of a hill. And he spake unto them, 'Thou man of God, the king has said, come down.'" So get the picture. The king says, "Go get him." He says, 50 of y'all with your captain, 51 men, professional soldiers, go get Elijah. Tell him I want to talk to him. Evidently, he's a little nervous about Elijah. He sends 51 men to go get him. Could have sent one. The Bible says Elijah's sitting at the top of a hill. Can I sit on this? Elijah's sitting on the top of a hill. He's up there all by himself, and he's got his Israeli Today paper or whatever he's doing, or he's reading his scroll, you know, Walking with Jehovah, and he's filling out his Walking with Jehovah book, and I mean, he's got it all down. He's enjoying his time. Then all of a sudden, look what the Bible says. They said, "Come down," in verse number 10. "And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, 'If I be a man of God," I just love him. You know, I don't know, guys. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. He's picking Egg McMuffin out of his teeth, you know. "If I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume thee and thy 50. And look what happens. And the fire fell. I don't know why we laugh about that. And the fire fell. It's like Brother Skelly, you know. Hey, millions died of water. And the fire fell and consumed him and his 50. He said, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a preacher. Who knows? But if I am, hey, Brother Vasek, let fire come down. And the Bible says, fire fell. There they are. He went back to reading his Bible, or his scroll, I'm sorry. And then the Bible says again also, he sent unto him another captain of his 50 with his 50. Look how stupid these people are. You just lost 51 men. Let's do it again. 50 of y'all go out in the alley, see what's going on out there. Come back all beat up. Oh, that was cool. 50 more. They had to be teenagers. You get 100 points apiece. I'll do it. You know, they're ready. Then the Bible says that he said it again. "I don't know if I be a man of God, let fire come down." It came. The Bible says it came. That he said, "Come down quickly." Fire came down and consumed him. Look at this, verse 13. And he sent again, a third 50 with his 50. These guys have lost their mind. Can you imagine that second group, Brother Hobbins, walking down there and they're stepping over dead bodies? Man, smells like something got burnt. Smells like burnt hair. That looks like Joe. Who's the hairy man up there and all these dead men? The third captain got a little smarts about him. He's seeing smoke come up, and these guys, they're like bacon, or they didn't eat bacon. They're like lamb, and they're getting fried, you know. And so here, you'll catch that sometime tomorrow on the way home. Oh, I get it. And but anyway, so he's stepping over, and the Bible says he looked up, and he finally got some sense about him, and he said, "Oh, man of God, yeah, that's what you want to be called. You got it. Oh, man of God, would you mind meeting with our king?" That's Elijah. Elijah's the kind of guy, I believe, that Elisha probably sat there and watched him preach and said, "Boy, I like his spirit." You know, it's kind of like Pastor Wilkerson. I love his attitude. I love his smile. He's just so happy. I got to find that happy drink somewhere. Amen. I mean, he's excited. He loves winning souls. He loves helping people. And to me, I want a double portion of that spirit. Yeah. I want that part of the Christian life. Okay, and y'all don't get mad at me. Pray for me. But I don't understand why teenagers are mad. I know you may have to face troubles. And I'm not saying every family's perfect. I'm not saying every home life is perfect. But God help you live in America. Have you forgotten where we live? Say amen. You rode in a van you didn't pay for. You rode with gasoline in that van you didn't pay for. And if you did pay for it, Daddy gave it to you to pay for it. Hey, we ought to be happy about serving God. Amen. Can't you see Elisha as a little boy saying, "I'm going to preach like that one day. I remember sneaking in my dad's room. He's a pastor of a church. And when I was little, I was thinking about watching your boys at the fireworks last night, about that size. And I'd sneak in there and get my dad's suit coat and I'd put it on. And the sleeves, you know, they'd be super long. And I'd get in front of the mirror and I'd preach. Let me tell you something, you know, that sleeve is just flapping like that. I preach so many messages in the bathroom. People get saved. Thousands trust Christ. I remember my mama had a sewing box, and it kind of looked like a little pulpit. And I'd set that thing up at the house. I was about six or seven, I guess, five or six, I don't remember. But I'd set that thing up. Well, my sisters wouldn't come to my church. You know how girls are. So they had, like, baby dolls and teddy bears, so they came to the church. I ran bus routes to the bedrooms. So I lined them all up on the stairs, and I'd preach the stuffings out of them, man. Hey, teddy bear, bless God, you look like a limp wrist, something or another. Sit up, it's preaching time right now. I'd get after him. I'd preach at the Barbie, you Barbie doll. Hey, what kind of mini skirt you wearing, bless God? We dress right in this church. That Ken doll, you sitting too close to Barbie. Uh-oh, scoot over. Man, I'd preach at him. And my sister had a baby doll. Ain't nobody going to remember it here. Maybe some of the old folks. It was called Miss Beasley. And the only reason I remember it because of the trouble I got into. Well, I was preaching one day. Miss Beasley fell down the steps. She got full of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, man, the invitation has started. There she is. So I went down and dealt with Miss Beasley. And she trusted Christ. Miss Beasley had a string. If you pull it, she would talk, you know. So I pulled it and said, do you want to get baptized? She said, yes. I didn't have time to get parents' permission. That was before all that mess happened. So I took her, and I had to find water to baptize her in. Yeah, don't jump the gun here. And the only place I could find, so I flushed her in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. My sister's not a very spiritual lady. She got offended that her little one trusted Christ, but I loved watching people enjoy church. I've always enjoyed that. And I can see Elisha sitting there going, man, I want to preach like that one day. I can see Elijah saying, hey, don't be walking around with your robe sagging down, your underwear sticking out, bless God. Hey, wear them robes right. You boys wearing things 20 times too big and you girls wearing things 20 times too small. Y'all got, hey, if we had a fire drill, some of y'all girls would burn. Stop, drop, and roll, because that's the only way you're getting out. Say amen. Get you laughing. I think he just preached at me. But I can see him. Turn them turbans on right. Quit wearing them crooked. Even a duck knows the bill goes in the front. Amen. I can just see Elisha saying, I like that. I want more of that. And here's Elisha, though. The Bible says that when he got a chance to ask, he wanted a double portion of his spirit. Elijah, back in chapter 2, if you will, and we'll just stay there as we'll finish. Elijah comes to him and says, tell me what you want. He said, I want double portion of your spirit. Elijah's response was to this great request, wow, I don't know if I can do that. I'm not God, but he said, nevertheless. He said, if you'll see me when I'm taken up, you'll have it. The story is he's taken up. He does receive it. There's something about Elisha, though, I see by way of introduction in his beginning of his life. I love his determination. The Bible says when Elijah found him, he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was a worker. Can I say, teenagers, learn how to work. Boy, we could have revival in our churches if you'd quit sitting around like a bunch of welfare cases. Everybody okay? When church is done, quit making the grown-ups pick up. You pick up. Amen. Quit making the bus worker sweep the bus. You sweep the bus. Hey, we need some determination. We need some young people to get determined about serving God. Get determined about going to church. Get determined about getting involved in the things of God. There was determination. But can I say also he had discretion. When you're behind 12 yoke of oxen, you're not in front of them. Anybody ever been to a farm? Okay. Have y'all ever gotten in a car and somebody went, whoa, check your shoes. Somebody stepped in something. He's behind, whoa, whoa, dude, He used discretion. Hey, let me tell you something. Look at me, teenager. You don't have to get into everything. I've heard people, you know, they hate social media. Some people love social media. I ain't going to waste no message on it. I'm just saying, keep Christ number one. If you'll stay in the center of Him, you'll be fine. Amen. Wouldn't it be good? Let me help you. Use some discretion. You don't have to get involved in everyone's mess. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I got to make sure I'm right with that book and right with my God, make sure my family's walking the right way. And we'll say, let's just not, we're not going to get involved in that. And we'll help people, we'll love people, we'll give people the gospel. But hey, let's use some discretion in life. I don't need to go to the movie house. I don't need a date alone. I don't need to listen to rap music. God help. That always gets me ticked. Rap music straight out of hell. Everybody okay? And if you like it, there's an altar down here. Rap music is straight out of hell. And hey, I'm going to quit soon, but act like you like it or I'm going to hang on that one for a while. Rap means retards attempting poetry. They ain't got no sense. Hey! Use some discretion on that. Well, I gave up raps and I listened to Christian rock. There's no such thing as that either. Unless you got Christian beer and Christian pornography and Christian marijuana, hey, ain't no such thing. Feel like preaching right now? There ain't no such thing. Amen. Anyway, what was I saying? Discretion. Some of y'all, you should have used some discretion right there. Amen. Not only that, I love his dedication. Elijah said, come with me. He said, if you don't mind, I need to go see my mom and daddy. Just real quick. I love his dedication to his family. There's somebody in your world is the reason why you're here today. It may be your mom and dad. It may be a spiritual leader in your church. Somebody is influencing your life. Let's never get away from being a thankful people. In Romans chapter 1, you'll find a decay of a group of people, and it all started because they were unthankful. Never let a door be open without thank you. Never let a meal be given without thank you. Boy, if we could just learn how to say that. If you'd start your prayer life by looking up to heaven and saying, thank you. He's not a Santa Claus. God's not something we just get things as we need. No, let's be grateful. The dedication he had, but then there's so much. He had delight. The Bible says he ran with him. I love that. But the three places he took him, and we're done. Number one, he took him to Bethel. As we read, he said, the Lord has sent me to Bethel in verse number 2. So they went down to Bethel. Bethel is a picture of the house of God. Can I tell you something that'll help you in life? It'll keep you in. You don't have to get out of church when you're out of school. Can y'all hear me? You don't have to get out of God's will just because school's out. Y'all sit up and look at me. Hey, I come a long way to preach. Drove 12 hours to preach. Sit up and look at me. Hey, it's preaching time right here. You ain't got to get out. We need some young people that'll get in and stay in. Stay right. You ain't got to get right. Just hook up to God and ride all the way. Amen. The house of God, there's protection there. I'm glad that there's a place like this I can bring my young people to and say, I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous about the music. I'm not nervous about the skits. Brother Finley, you've done enough youth meetings. You get nervous sometimes. Brother Eddie, I mean, through the years, you preached and thought, oh, man, glad I didn't bring my teenagers here. Aren't you glad there's protection here? And you look at your preacher this week or your youth director, and you ought to thank God that they built a place for you to have some protection. Not only that, but there's perception there. Nehemiah chapter 8, he talked about how that they gave the understanding of the word. And can I tell you, when you go to the house of God, there's perception. You know, it's where you get tuned into God. Some of y'all, it's real static right now. Some of y'all get on the, hey, you got to get on the XM. It's got to get clear. I mean, it's got to be crystal clear. Some of y'all, I don't understand what they're saying. All you hear is, wah, 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 wah. Whoa! You're sitting there going, wah, 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 pizza, wah, 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 pizza. You stay around it long enough, you'll get tuned in, you'll get locked in. He took him to Bethel. Not only that, very quickly, number two, he took him to Jericho. Jericho was a place of victory. Can I tell you something, teenager? You can have victory in your Christian life. Every soul that gets saved, that's victory. Every friend that they may get out of the will of God, don't you ever quit praying for them. Don't you ever quit loving them. Don't you ever quit asking God to bring them back. And when they do come back, they don't need to see a bunch of people. Knew you'd come back sooner or later. Out there in the world, aren't you? I can smell it all over you. Really? But for the grace of God, boy, it's cool over here. I'm staying over here. But for the grace of God, hey, there go we. Listen to me. We need victory. Jericho, you remember the story? Huge walls and children of Israel walking around. God tells Joshua, tell them, don't talk. They start marching. Can you imagine? You can't say a word. They're walking. Some boy up top says, hey, how are you? Well, who y'all? How you doing? Don't talk much, do you? All right, have a good day. Come back the second day. Hey, there's that crowd again. It's the non-talking group. Y'all part of that cult, ain't you? Yeah, I seen your church bus out there. How's it going down there? Look at you with y'all modest-looking robes and turban just right. Look at you. Look like little, look at little army men walking around. You know that aggravated them. Because I have comebacks. Yeah, oh, yeah. You wanna have a game? Let's go. Your mom is, no. And, About that fourth day, if I was a soldier on the wall, I'm tossing something at you. Oh, man, look at it. You see, And I know as a believer, it's tough sometimes to march around that wall. I know it's not always easy. Can I confess something to you? Is that all right? Confess your faults. I ain't going to confess no sin, but I'll confess my faults. I've not always stood for the Lord like I should. I told this at the college chapel last semester before the school ended. And, you know, one time I was on a flight not too long ago. And I sat down in between these very distinguished men. I mean, one was a VP of a corporation. The other one was a recruiter for Missouri football. And so they're you know, we're chit-chatting a little bit. And what do you do? And he told me. And I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive. What do you do? And he told me. And you know, okay, y'all don't judge me too hard. I should have stood for the Lord. I didn't. The one guy said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a public speaker. He said, oh, okay. I see, I'm a motivational speaker. You know, it's no big deal. Because I was embarrassed. Don't look at me that way. It was, oh my, set him down now and kill the mic. But I was like, yeah, that's what I do. And I'm going to tell you, that quick, Brother Eddie, Holy Ghost said, really? So that's all you are. Brother Shook, I felt so bad. I knew right then that, oh, that was bad. I got an hour and a half flight of bad. All I can think of, I want to die like a hero, but not like Lester Roloff. This ain't my way to go, man. I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry. Well, I had my iPad, and I had plugged in my earphones, and so I was listening. I got a bunch of podcasts from Brother Tony, and I was listening to one of his messages, Sunday morning message, you know. And so I had my earbuds in. I had that volume cranked all the way up. I'm just trying to drown out my guilt. That was stupid. Shouldn't have said that. God has a sense of humor. No doubt in my mind he does. I'd put my iPad in the back of the seat in front of me. And I, in the middle of the flight, I'm listening. Brother Tony is just getting after it. Hey, let me tell you something. I mean, he's preaching against everything. Sunday morning. So I'm sitting there, and I went to get up to get something. I was going to excuse myself and step out. Well, I forgot. You know, I'm not, you know, you're in your own world when you got earbuds on. Have you ever heard someone start singing? His life for mine. And you're like, you know. Number one, you can't sing. There's a reason why they're on the CD and you're not. You know, number two, stop. What? You know, it's like, oh, sorry. You know. So I'm in my own world. Brother Tony's preaching. I go to stand up. When I did, my earbuds came out of the iPad. The iPad came out just enough to fall down. All you can hear is, sodomite, straight out of hell, straight out of hell, straight out of hell, sodomite, straight out of hell. I couldn't pick that stinking thing up. I'm on the ground, man, under the seat. I'm trying to pull it out. I finally get the stupid iPad. I can't remember my password. Brother Tony is preaching to everybody on the airplane. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, give me an iPad now. Dying, I'm dying. Finally, I shut the stupid thing off. I look up. Everybody is. The VP and the recruiter are sitting on either side. They're both just kind of staring. This guy looked at me and said, "And what kind of public speaker are you?" I said, "Well, guys, let me go ahead and confess. Biblically, my name would be Jonah. I think we're flying to Tarshish. It's not going to be a good flight." I said, "Man, I'm a preacher. You guys intimidated me. Can I tell you something? There's going to be times where you're not going to feel like standing for God. You know what I'm talking about. You walk into McDonald's, everyone's looking. And you're thinking, oh, man, we're Amish. They kidnapped me. Help. I'm not supposed to be with the church group." And it's easy. You're going to be marching around those walls, and it's going to be real easy to... "Hey, what are y'all doing?" But can I tell you something? Y'all look at Brother Scott. Keep walking. Keep walking. That seventh day, they started marching once, twice, and they got tired, and they're wore out. Man, they're dehydrated. They're tired. They're tired of being made fun of. Y'all, you're God's people. All you belong to Jehovah. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that the walls fell down flat. You just keep marching for God, and you keep walking, and you stay right in the middle of Him, and God's going to do some big things in your world you never imagined could happen. You need that place of victory. Teenagers can have victory now. The last thing is this, he took him to Jordan. Jordan, of course, is a place of faith. He brings him there, and it's a big time in Elisha's life. And as they get there to this place of Jordan, he tells him, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless," he said, "there's going to be some chariots of fire. When that chariot of fire and the horses come, if you'll see that," he said, you'll get what you ask. They get there, and the Bible says that Elijah takes his mantle. I don't know exactly what a mantle would look like, but he takes a mantle, and the Bible says that he walks up, and of course, the 50 sons of prophets were there, the critics were there. They're telling Elisha, "Man, don't go. He's leaving. You're going to be all alone. It's not going to work out." Elisha says, "Guys, hold your peace. Wherever that guy goes, I'm staying with him." He goes to the brink of the water, and he has no doubt Elijah can do it, because that's his job, if you will. He hits the brink of the water, and the Bible says the water's parted hither and thither. Now, Elisha, no doubt's feeling pretty good. "I'm walking across. This is cool. Water's parted." It's like, "Yeah, what's up now, guys?" Dry ground. Elijah. Elisha. "Oh, yeah. I'm going to be signing scrolls before this meeting's over with. I'm going to be getting my picture chiseled out with people. It's going to be phenomenal." But then he gets to the other side, and the waters come together. That's not what he planned. But he sees the chariot and the horses of fire come, and they take Elijah away. And the Bible says he began to rend his clothes. Wasn't ready for that. Just like none of us are ready when change happens. But he picks up the same mantle, maybe out of disgust, a little bit of faith, a lot of doubt, frustration. But he takes that same mantle and he says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And I love it. God doesn't pause. God doesn't wait. God wasn't asleep. Right away, the waters parted hither and thither. And it's almost like God said, "I'm right here. What do you need?" Elisha, you're kidding me. Can you see those 50 guys going, "We knew you could do it. Yeah. We were just joking. Elisha." You know what? Don't let the critics detour you from your decisions. Because God knows where you're going. God knows what you need. God knows what's going to happen. And it's not always easy. We are blessed to have a copy of this book because we get to know the end of the story. But some of you are at the beginning of your life where, I don't know if this is going to work out. Let me tell you, what God does for one, He'll do for all. And just trust Him, because Elisha was able to walk back on dry ground. And the Bible says that he did twice as many miracles are recorded than Elijah did. There's some teenagers in here today. You've heard all the testimonies about in that building when God got a hold of their heart and God did big things. It's not just about what happened in the past. It's about what God can do today. And He's looking for a young man or young lady that'll say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Let me just ask you, is there a boy in here that would say, Brother Scott, I tell you what, I'll pick up that mantle. I'll tell you what, Brother Gray, I don't know if anybody else will help part waters, but I'll part them. I don't even know if I know what I'm doing. But if that mantle's there, I'll pick it up. Do we have a young man that would stand up and say, I'll pick up that mantle. I'll be the one that does that. I'll stand up. I'll be that one that's different. Do we have any Elishas in the house that would say, Brother Gray, you can count on me? There's one. That's all it takes. Remain standing. That's good. Right there. That looks. You don't know how good that looks. You don't know how good that looks right there. Hey, this ain't for show. We ain't trying to impress nobody. But we need some Elishas. Hey, you need to let your youth group know, I'm willing to pick up a mantle, and I'm willing to smite that water, and I don't know if it'll part. That's up to God. That's not up to me. But it is up to me whether or not what I do with Him. I can let Him sit on my stool of life, if you will, and have total control, or I can keep it myself. It's your call. I want you young men to come down here and find a place at this altar. Hurry. Come on. If it's big enough to stand, it's big enough to move. If you can play something for me, it don't matter. And let me encourage maybe a youth director or a preacher, if you see some of your boys coming down here, I think it'd be good if we prayed over them a little bit. Because it's easy to shout, and it ought to be that way. It's good to be involved in the youth conference. But you're going to have to go home, and there's going to be some other sons of the prophets, and they're good guys. Don't get me wrong. We're not trying to cause division in a youth group. They're good guys. But we need some Elishas that'll be different and not really be focused on what maybe others are doing. Encourage them, be there for them. But really be focused on what God wants you to do. How about it, young man? When that mantle falls, are you ready and willing to pick it up? I surrender all. What a great song. If you wouldn't mind, just stay right down here if you could. We're going to pray for y'all for you. If you're in the pew, why don't you pray for your fellow friends if you see some down here. And young ladies, I'm not trying to exclude you. We need you in the fight. We need you in the way. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for these that have stood and said, I want to be an Elisha. I thank you for the courage it takes them to stand. But Lord, it's going to take more courage and dedication as they leave this place to keep standing. Lord, help them as they pick up a mantle. They may feel young. They may feel like, I'm a youth, I can't do it. But the truth is, with you, all things are possible. There may be some young men down here that are surrendering to preach. There may be some young men down here that are just getting things right with you. Whatever the case is, would you help them, please, and touch them in a great way? I thank you for the pastors and churches represented. I thank you for what you've done in our lives this week. Would you please continue what you started in our hearts. We love you, and we give you all the honor and glory for it. In your precious holy name, I pray.